I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. McDonald's workers around the country have filed 23 new complaints against the fast food giant for sexual harassment in the workplace. This is the third time McDonald's workers have filed complaints to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in the last 3 years. The workers are getting support from the ACLU, Fight for 15 Labor Group, and the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The last organization was started in the wake of the Me Too movement to help women pay for sexual harassment and abuse cases against their employers across the country. Most of the thousands of people who've turned up to Time's Up have been low-wage workers, the ones who tend to be the most vulnerable to sexual harassment. We're going to get more to that, including the details of the latest McDonald's allegations, with Milena Rizik, reporter with the New York Times. Milena, thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
So the content of yesterday's filings against McDonald's, I mean, we're talking, this is the third time in 3 years. How many complaints have gone to the EEOC about this?
I think this brings the total to something like over 50 complaints. Some of them get filed on the state level. Some go directly to the EEOC. But it's a sizable number. And in fact, of the thousands of requests for help that the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund has gotten, as you mentioned, you know, the majority goes to low-wage workers. And of that, the majority of their funding, you know, in single cases has gone to McDonald's workers.
What are we looking at specifically with these allegations against McDonald's? What are the workers alleging?
They are mostly alleging gender discrimination, sexual harassment, and importantly, retaliation. You know, a lot of times they say, even when they have the courage to speak up, which is a difficult thing to do when you're in this kind of low-wage job and you're really depending on the paycheck, you know, if they do report the harassment or abuse to management, if they're those complaints can be brushed aside, they can be dismissed, sort of, you know, not paid attention to, and then often they find that they are retaliated against. Their hours are cut, they're demoted, and that is a really serious thing to live through when you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Now, McDonald's is a franchise operation. Often they are owned by individuals, and of course, are we talking about allegations of McDonald's corporation or the individual franchises, or just how the organization handles sexual harassment as a whole?
It's a really interesting case because in this instance, it's both. You know, there are allegations against corporate stores. In fact, one corporate store has had multiple allegations against it over the years. And, you know, the majority of McDonald's are franchise-owned, the vast majority. So certainly the majority of harassment cases are against franchisees. McDonald's has in the past used that franchise system as sort of a shield, as one of the ACLU lawyers put it, and said, you know, we're not responsible really for what happens in our franchise restaurants with the employees.
Now, you've spoken to former and current McDonald's workers who were involved in these claims. We've got about a minute left in this segment, but I want to ask you, what were some of the risks that they thought they were taking in coming forward?
I mean, they literally, one of them felt like she was fired because of, you know, having reported the allegations against her to management. In fact, her parents reported the allegations because she was a minor. She was 16 when her manager started, you know, touching her inappropriately, texting her, tried to kiss her. She didn't know what to do. It was her first job. She was scared and felt like she was at fault and ultimately took a big risk, or her family took a big risk in reporting it because she did. You know, she was fired and she felt like that was a consequence of speaking out.
Milena, since it's, I mean, the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund is 18 months old. How many people have they actually been able to work with in that time?
They have about 100 cases that they're funding, which is substantial when you realize that they are sort of an organization that funnels the requests to lawyers around the country who take on those cases.
And who is typically their client? Who is receiving? Because we talked about the fear in the previous segment of coming forward with something like this, particularly if you're a low-wage worker. But then there's the cost, right? If you come forward and say, I want to do something, and then I have to get an attorney. And so who are the people who are typically getting help from Time's Up?
It is a really big obstacle, I mean, to think about if you're a person who doesn't really have a lot of resources to think about trying to get an attorney for a case like this. Even if you're able to find it, if you have the time to do that, a lot of times I've learned from the experts in this field that attorneys don't like to take the cases for these low-wage workers because, you know, there's not necessarily a lot of money in it.
We did speak to someone from the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, and here's what they had to say about some of the obstacles to accessing help.
If you want to have a lawyer, you have to be able to find a lawyer, and that requires you to have access to the names of lawyers, access to a phone, access to a quiet place to talk to a lawyer. Then if you want to visit the lawyer, you have to have childcare to take care of your child while you're at the lawyer's. You have to have transportation. All of those things are difficult to begin with. When you're talking about low-wage workers, those are barriers that could be insurmountable in certain situations. And then when you actually have a lawyer, you have to pay for the lawyer, and that can be very expensive.
And that was Sharon Tajani, and she's the director of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. What is the significance of really providing this help for low-wage workers, do you think?
I think it's, you know, the reason that the organizations behind these, the protests and these actions have chosen McDonald's is because it's a strategic target. The restaurant industry has one of the highest rates of sexual harassment. And, you know, in one survey, women fast food workers said 40% of them had experienced sexual harassment, and an additional something like 20% felt like they had been retaliated against. So if you are able to change even a fraction of that behavior and have the system or the company is responsible, you know, take account and make changes, that is going to make a big difference in the lives of otherwise vulnerable workers. And I know that people feel like this, you know, McDonald's could be a leader in this space.
You've also been doing a lot of work on reporting on sexual harassment. Are you seeing any trends when it comes to this space in terms of who's stepping up to be heard?
I think the biggest thing is that, of course, people are, in fact, now stepping up. You know, a lot of times, especially for low-wage workers working in these kind of jobs, they didn't even realize that the behavior that they were experiencing was really out of bounds. You know, especially if you think about this demographic, it's, young women who maybe are having their first workplace experience, they don't know how illegal what they're experiencing is, and they certainly don't know that they can do anything about it. And it is the Time's Up movement, the Me Too movement, that has told them, you know, hey, you have a voice and people are going to listen to it. So I think the fact of them, you know, stepping up and talking about this is the major change.
Also, I'm wondering, you know, McDonald's doesn't just hire young people. They also tend to hire older people as well. Are any older women involved in these lawsuits that you're seeing?
Absolutely. There are, you know, something like a third of McDonald's workers are supporting families. And I definitely talked to women who were mothers or single mothers who had bigger families who were depending on this paycheck to put food on the table, and they are, you know, the stakes are very high for them to talk about this kind of stuff. And yet they're doing it in part because they want to help the next generation. They want to help their children.
We should note that we did reach out to McDonald's for comment, and they've responded with a letter that they had sent to a complainant. We'll read part of it, which says, strengthening our overall policy, creating interactive training, a third party managed anonymous hotline, and importantly, listening to employees across the system. McDonald's is sending a clear message that we're committed to creating and sustaining a culture of trust where employees feel safe, valued, and respected. Milena Ryzik, reporter with the New York Times, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.